Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live, where sarcasm goes to the movies and snark watches TV, with your hosts, the Horror Fatale and the Diva Mummy.
Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live. I'm your host, the Horror Fatale, bringing you this week's horror news, reviews, recaps, and information. As always, I ask you to like and subscribe and leave me a review on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you're listening to this cast on. That was the theme music from American Horror Stories, which starts off this week's horror community news. American Horror Story is getting a spin-off series called American Horror Stories. The executive producer and creator mentioned the new series in a social media post. He says the new series will feature 1 hour contained episodes. Sources have described the new project as a companion anthology series to American Horror Story, where each episode is a standalone ghost story. Okay. Ryan Murphy dropped the news in a post about a Zoom call where he had a cast with the Mothership show, which they're describing as, you know, the American Horror Story or whatever. But like most things in Hollywood, there's no date for this to start, to begin, to go into production, because we're in COVID limbo right now out here. But it'll be neat to see what they do with this. This sounds very familiar to a show on Quibi, the Quibi app, where it's coast to coast telling a story from each state. You guys, if you haven't checked that out, you should. Moving right along to more American Horror Story news. Season 10, which is also halted in production. No idea when it's going to start, but we do know they have pulled Macaulay Culkin from the bench. He's coming on screen to do some acting once again. And the way to get American Horror Story to get Macaulay Culkin was apparently was offering him crazy erotic sex scenes with Kathy Bates. So that should be really interesting. According to Ryan Murphy, he was always a fan of Macaulay Culkin. Everybody pretty much is, whatever. I don't know many people that don't like Macaulay Culkin. But anyway, he knew he always wanted to work with him, so he gave him a call and basically told him that, you know, he doesn't, you know, tell people, he doesn't send scripts or tell them what to read or whatever. He just kind of tells them what the characters is. And he told him he has crazy erotic sex with Kathy Bates and does other things. And he says, Macaulay paused and goes, "That sounds like a role I was born to play." So he signed up right then and there. So this would be really interesting. You know, HS has some really, they're calling it envelope pushing. They have some thought-provoking sex scenes in when they do have them. So this will be interesting to see how this works or whatever. Good for you, Kathy. So let's move on to the next. But like most things, though, I don't even have to say it. We don't know when they're going to be able to come back and go in production. But Macaulay and, you know, Kathy will be getting it on. Maybe they'll do a social distance kind of look. I don't know. Let me shut up. I am sad to report that Room 104, the HBO anthology series, is ending after its upcoming fourth season. I'm in Britain today. Anyway, Room 104, the HBO anthology series created by Mark and Jay Duplass is ending after its upcoming fourth season. The late night show, which features half-hour episodes of a variety of spooky happenings in a motel room, returns on July 24th at 11 p.m. The show was filmed last year, meaning it was not hit by the COVID-19 production shutdown. The series tells the stories of a cast of characters who pass through a single room of a typical American chain motel, features a variety of standalone episodes from dark comedy to sci-fi, as well as its first animated episode, which I'm really looking forward to. I am a fan of this show. And full disclosure, I have had a relationship with them in the past, and I've been able to screen the series as it goes along. I don't know if I'm doing that this year. Nobody's reached out for me to be able to do that. But I also would invite you to listen to our podcast, episode 18, way back in 18. We got a chance to sit down and talk with the show's executive producer, Sydney Fleischman. That was a really interesting episode for our podcast, because we got to find out, you know, a little bit more about how the Room 104 came about and what it is. She wouldn't go full tilt and explain to me what Room 104 was or is, or whether or not we were ever going to find out for sure what it is. I'm not sure how far in advance they found out that this was their last season, so it'll be interesting to see whether or not they go into finally explaining what the room is. Hopefully they do. I have a theory. I have a theory, so we'll have to watch. We'll tune in and see. This season 4 and cast includes some heavy hitters. They got Vivian Bang to come on and do an episode. Kevin Nealon is doing an episode. Gary Cole is doing an episode. And Hollywood legend Linda Lavin is going to play a part this season. So if I find out whether or not I'm going to be reviewing that, I'll tell you here. Haven't heard, so probably not. But again, if you want to hear a little bit more in the know about that show in itself, again, that was episode 18 of HorrorFatalAlmostLive.com, where we interviewed the EP. So it's a good interview. So tune in to that. Go back and find it in iTunes or whatever you're listening on. Mike Flanagan, Dr. Sleep director, is adapting another one of Stephen King's novels for the big screen. Stephen King's revival, his 2004 novel, will be developed into a feature for Warner Brothers again. The novel is based on a relationship between a heroin addicted musician and a dubious faith healer with a hidden agenda. Yep, the minister is obsessed with trying to find a way to communicate with his dearly departed wife and child, but ends up connecting to a horror. They're calling it a Lovecraftian horror. So that ought to be interesting. Flanagan, you know, just adapted the 2013 novel Dr. Sleep, the sequel to, you know, the classic Shining. I also did a podcast episode of my views of that earlier. No, not earlier. Like last year, actually. That was 2019. I don't even know which episode that was. It's been that long. But I had thoughts on it, and I'm not going to bore you guys by going back into, you know, how I felt about it. I thought it was a beautiful movie, but not necessarily that great of a movie, and hopefully this time they will do a little bit better job of marketing for it, because I felt like Dr. Sleep got lost, and a lot of people didn't see it because they didn't realize it was the sequel to The Shining. You know, casual horror fans don't know all that, and casual Stephen King fans don't know that. Anyway, so not to rehash that, but that's a bit of Stephen King news, and there's a lot more actually. Stephen King is a busy dude. Most of his books are winding up on in some kind of form. I think there's a couple of more TV shows based on his novels, and a couple of more movies and stuff come in the pipeline. I don't know when they're gonna go in production for all this, but the scripts will be ready, because you know the writers, they can continue to write. When they start filming is a whole other thing. Anyway, moving on. Stephen King has yet another thing in development, but this is for HBO Max. HBO Max is in the early development stage of a feature adaptation for the novel Trotta, which was co-written by Stephen King and, most importantly, his son Joe Hill. Joe Hill is a New York Times bestselling author. He wrote The Fireman and Strange Weather. There's more. Trotta follows a father and son led biker gang who get terrorized by a big rig truck on an isolated stretch of American desert. The short was first published in 2009 in an anthology titled He is Legend, and was followed by the 2012 comic book adaptation from IDW Publishing. Hill's second novel, Horns, was made into a feature film starring Daniel Radcliffe, and his third one, NOSS 482, y'all know that comes on TV right now, was adapted into a TV series for AMC, with the second season coming in June. Now, is it just me, or does Trottle sound like Maximum Overdrive? Big rig goes crazy, starts terrorizing the father and son biker gang. That sounds a lot like Maximum Overdrive, but hey, what do I know? You know, what's old is what's new again. And so I'm sure there's a twist. Maybe it's not supernatural like Maximum Overdrive. And was Maximum Overdrive supernatural? I can't remember. It's been a long time since I've seen that. Yeah. Okay, moving on. Sad to report, The Purge has been canceled by USA Network. They're going through a programming shift over there, and it's one of the casualties. USA Network has opted not to proceed with new seasons of The Purge. You know, The Purge was based on a popular Universal movie by the same name, The Purge franchise. The Purge was canceled after two seasons. The Purge was a breakout hit in season one, but its linear viewership was down 50% in season two, while remaining a solid demo performer. Oh, that's bad. I gotta admit, I tried to watch the Purge TV series. I could not get into it. It just was not for me, and I'm a fan of the franchise. I don't know what it was. It just didn't hold my attention. And I don't know. To me, having an hour and a half movie or 2 hour movie based on those events is one thing, but every week, nah. I think they were trying to make it kind of 24-ish, because I think every hour was an hour in The Purge, and I don't know. I didn't see how that was going to hold anybody's attention in the first place. But I love my Blumhouse, so oh well. That is a lot of news for us. I'm very happy about that, because we went from having no news to a shit ton of news or whatever. So we're doing something a little different. In the next segment, it'll seem like news, but it's not news. I promise you. That was the theme music for Lucifer. Yay! Lucifer, the complete fourth series, is now available for you to own and enjoy on DVD. It came out May the 12th. If you visit orfatel.com, you will not be getting it for free. But you can get information on what is contained in that DVD set and how you can purchase a copy for yourself. Anyway, I have to tell you that I do have a little bit of a partnership with Warner Brothers. Yep, that they make you do that. The FCC says you must sell it. But even before that, Lucifer was one of my favorite TV shows. I was a part. It's not a secret that the Lucifer series is one of my favorites, and I would actively took part in that hashtag Save Lucifer campaign from a couple of years ago. And I was really happy and excited that it came back for a fourth season on Netflix. And I will be the first person to tell you that season four is dark, way darker than it had been previously. Actually, the end of third season got kind of dark too, with when they introduced Tom Welling as Kane. That was pretty good. But it got even darker when Lucifer, of course, revealed himself to Chloe. I don't want to spoil you if you haven't seen it. or are you going to discover the goodness that is Lucifer? It's a really good show. It really is. I don't know why it's not a bigger hit. It should be a bigger hit. But I think it's done really well on Netflix, and I'll tell you why. Because they are negotiating a possible season 5. No, they're doing a season 5. Sorry, season 6. Damn, I fucked that up for myself. Anyway, but in season 4, which is, you can own on DVD, it got a lot, like I said, a lot darker, and it was really cool to watch them. The characters all had their own uniquely darker storyline. You have Lucifer being himself for the first time with Chloe, demon and all. She got to see him, his devil face and all and everything, and she dealt with it better towards the end of the season than she did at the beginning. I imagine that that's a lot to process, and then they were starting to fall for each other and all that, and you find out this man that you're falling for is the devil. That's interesting, right? Well, a lot of dudes I've fallen for were the devil, but anyway, corny, I know, but true. And you had, you know, I can't pronounce his name right now. Amadeo, who, you know, played by the beautiful DB Woods, also finds his I don't want to say humanity, but he realizes that on Earth, his being in black skin, you know, I don't want to get too deep or too dark or, you know, too militant, which I can do. But he befriends this young black teenager, and the kid winds up getting shot and killed. And just the police brutality, you're guilty because of the way you look, you know, just all that for him, that was a lot of for him to deal with, you know, something that I guess never occurred to him prior to. It wasn't something that he had to deal with, and, you know, it makes him make a choice on his whether he wants to raise his son on Earth or in heaven. So that was interesting to watch. Maze, who's one of my favorite characters on the show, she has her own soul searching growth this season. She went from being, you know, Maze was dark when she first started the series, and then she made these friends and became friends with these people, and then, you know, Armadale starts sleeping with the doctor lady who's her friend, and it goes dark for a minute, and Lucifer picks Eve over her. It's just bad. And poor Maze kept getting the short end of the stick, and she went kind of Looney Tunes. But then the baby comes and she becomes Auntie Maze. It's very cool to watch. Even Dan, you know, he's grief stricken over the death of Lucifer and Amadeo's mom, which he still didn't know that was her. But he goes down a weird path and gets kind of dark. So it's a really good season 4. And again, it is on DVD for you to watch and enjoy. The reason why you might want to get it on DVD if you can, because there are more things that comes with it a little bit. There are deleted scenes, and there the episodes are a whole hour, so there's a little bit more footage than was shown on, you know, Netflix, I think. And it's available on digital. Means you can get it on iTunes, Amazon Video, Google Play, Vudu, PlayStation, Xbox, and others. So that is a little bit of a Lucifer review and information. That's what I meant. It kind of sounded like news too. But it really wasn't. It was a review in there too. Just so you know.
No one photographs the dead better than you.
My darling Mary.
I've never seen her so alive, Mr.
Let's not touch Mary.
Give me a few minutes. I need to liven her up a bit.
Murders. Murders in front of the camera.
The bodies were posed in the exact same position.
I can
could use your expertise. If photography can be a tool for the criminal, I'd love to see us make it a tool for the law.
The streets of Dublin are not a fairy tale.
Don't worry, Uncle. I've got a knife in my boot.
Do not tell me you're scared.
I am so scared.
We used to say that our photographs were the real ghosts. The soul of a person captured forever.
Nice to see you two are still rays of sunshine.
That was the trailer for the upcoming series Dead Steel, which will premiere exclusively on Acorn original. Will premiere on Acorn TV on Monday, May 18th, with two episodes followed by weekly episodes through June 15th. The premise of the series is really interesting. Let me read it to you really quick. Once a photographic prodigy in Ireland, a pioneer of an early photographic method which captures an image in an iodized, stencilized silver plate known as daguerreotype. I probably butchered that. But anyway, Brock is now struggling to keep up with the times. With cameras becoming cheaper and photographic studios starting to flourish in Dublin around 1880, the practice of memorial photography is on the wane. Brock tries to revive his business after an accident requiring the help of a sharp-witted niece, Nancy, a new eager assistant, and former grave digger Malloy. Their working relationship develops after a rocky start. Brock takes a while to warm up to the two of them since he's known for being remote and unemotional, thus much better in dealing with the dead than the living. Meanwhile, it appears someone more sinister is getting in on the death photography game. Detective Frederick Regan investigates a series of murders in Dublin's criminal underbelly and concludes that a serial killer may be cashing in on the taste for a different type of memorial imagery, pictures of people in their death throes. As the body count begins to escalate, Brock, Malloy, and Nancy must stop a murderer intent on entering not just their business, but their lives. It's good. It's really good. I love UK and British dramas and mysteries. They do this really, really well. If you were a fan of Sherlock or even Elementary to me was kind of the closest that we got to one of those. Here we keep trying to do it, but it doesn't always work for us the way it works out for them. I don't know what it is, but they do it really well. If you're a fan of Miss Fisher's murder mysteries or Agatha Raisin's or Mr. and Mrs. Murder or any of those UK British mystery series, you will get this and you will like this. I read the description or whatever, that's the formal description that came off of the press release, but let's just break it down. The guy Brock, played by, nonetheless, I don't know if you guys watched Luther with Idris Elba, but he played Benny, he was Benny the deadhead silver. He was the hacker and he was really slacky, so to see him be a proper gent in this was interesting. I did not know that what's his name, Michael Smiley, I had no idea he's a really, really good actor, because I completely did not see Benny at all. You know how sometimes when a character, no matter who it is, you still see, you know, that other character that they played? No, Benny's gone. He's a proper gentleman in this. And it was really good. He plays this kind of ornery photographer and his job is to take pictures of recently deceased people with their families, because that was a thing for some fucking reason in the 1800s. I don't know, we've seen those pictures, and I don't mean the ones where they put the pennies over their eyes. This is like people propped up in their Sunday best with their families sitting in a chair and you're sitting around with the dead person. That was a thing. It really was. And he's the best at it. They praise him for making these dead people look alive and capturing something. I don't know, it's fucking weird. But I'm learning to not talk about other people's practices, what they deal with grief, but that was a real thing. And so he's very stodgy and ornery, and he likes to be by himself. I can relate. But he takes on his niece, who is played very well by, I don't think I've seen her in anything personally, but she was in Brooklyn in Mary, Queen of Scots. And Malloy is played by Kara Logan. He's from Game of Thrones, alias Grace. I've never seen him in Game of Thrones. I was trying to rack my brain to see if I recognize him when I read that on the press release, but I do not recognize him. So I might have to go look it up or whatever. I'm still pissed off at Game of Thrones. Fuck it. I probably won't look it up. Anyway, but they round him out really well. And it's only 6 episodes in the series or the season. And kind of I love that about British TV, that it's quick to the point and they get it over with. At the same time, when it's good, it's like, damn it, they could at least went to 10. But they do 6 episodes, and like I said, it's really, really well done. I'm going to have a formal review, a little bit more fleshed out, for you on the site. But like I said, it will, by the time this podcast airs, you'll still have to wait a couple of days because it doesn't come on to May 18th on Acorn. I hope you have that. yeah. I hope you have that app, or however you get Acorn TV, if you have Roku or Amazon Prime or a Fire Stick or whatever, however you view your apps. This is one to check out, seriously. Let's see, what else should I tell you guys about it? Oh, like I said, it starts May 18th on Acorn TV, and the formal review will be at horrorfatale.com. I think this is all, folks. This was the jam-packed news episode. There's even more. Like, I found out that Shudder is gonna have the horror comedy scare package, but I'm not even going to tell you about that. I'm going to wait and tell you about that later. This was the news episode. I kind of dug it. It, you know, but I will be back with a movie review. Sorry. But I'm going to ask you to follow me on the socials at Horror Fatale on Instagram and on Twitter at Horror Fatale. At the Horror Fatale, sorry. Until next week, have happy nightmares.